right. Good to see you here this morning. I'm so glad you took time out to come and be in the house of the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. Please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts 2:42. And just hold your place there. You know, we have what is called the law of the land. Every country, if it's going to be a country, should have this. Most do. Some are vastly different than what we have. What I'm talking about is our United States Constitution. The Constitution is a written document that tells us the laws of our land that we base our life on in this country, the do's and don'ts. And it's for everybody from the least to the most powerful. You can be out on the street looking for a place to live, or you can be in the White House or in a judge's chamber in Washington. It does not matter. All these laws from the Constitution apply to every one of us.
Right.
And that's what we base our country's longevity on, really. So the U.S. Constitution guarantees U.S. citizens the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Are you happy? I hope so. The good God, the God of hope, can fill you with joy. Not just happiness, but joy. That goes beyond happiness. And along with that, He can fill you with peace. Not the peace of the world, but His peace, which transcends the peace of the world. He can fill you with that, and you'll be full of His joy. Nearly everyone in this sanctuary knows Jesus as Savior.
Amen.
Nearly everyone. And that's a good thing. Do you know Jesus as the Lord of your life?
Yes.
You see, we know Him as Savior. But do we bow down and follow His ways that He delineates in, really, this is the Christian Constitution. It tells us exactly how the Lord wants us to live and please Him. Amen?
Amen?
So are we making Him Lord of our life and following His ways lined out in the Scripture? He is the source and Lord of all hope. Yes, hope.
Amen.
You could probably think of a few hopes that you have that you're entertaining in your mind. And I think probably number one is the hope that, hey, one day I'm going to be standing in front of Jesus and He's going to be smiling and saying, welcome home, right? That's a great hope to have. Effort is not enough. Not enough without purpose and direction. Well, where do we get our purpose and direction? Of course, you're going to say we get it from God. We get it from the Lord. But we have God living in us. He is directing us. He is the Holy Spirit of God. And if we will yield to His direction, the joy will become more and more full and overflowing. And you'll love it. I guarantee it. Make Jesus the Lord, not just Savior, but the Lord of your life. Study God's Word, the Bible, and find your purpose and direction so that you can find your joy. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Before we do that, I want to read this scripture, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Father, we're so thankful that you loved us enough to give your Son and redeem us back from the sin that we got entangled with, Lord. We still fight that battle today, Lord, but it would be a losing battle if you had not intervened, given your life, shed your blood, so that we could have the victory through you, through what you've done for us. Yes, you gave your life, but you rose again 3 days later to show that you are the true and living God that gives us life. And if we will follow your Holy Spirit, whom you give to us when we accept you as Savior, then we can continue to have the joy of that life. If we will but humble ourselves to the leadership of your Holy Spirit. He loves us just like you loved us. He does everything he can to keep us on track. So Lord, help us to yield and humble ourselves to his leadership. We want our joy to be full, but it won't be full unless we are walking in the Spirit, serving you and loving you. So Lord, we pray that we'll continue that. Be with us now, Lord, as we go into your word. Help us to see the truth that each one of us needs. It's in your word. We might need a truth that's a little different for each one, Lord, but if it's coming from you, it's your truth. It's the truth we need to live a pleasing life to you, helping those around us and serving you. So, Lord, we pray humbly that you will humble us and we'll give in to you and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Who are the they? The they in that verse are those who accepted Christ on the day of Pentecost. Over 3,000 people called on the name of Jesus to save them from the power of darkness and an eternity in hell by accepting what the Lord had done for them on the cross at Calvary. That is the salvation that we have, what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And then we have the victory by following the Holy Spirit whom Jesus gives to us when we accept Him. Amen? So, in that verse, Acts 2:42, are enumerated the initial doctrines of belief. What should we believe as Christians? In a nutshell, they're right there. It's the Old Testament Scriptures, the Apostles' teachings. The Old Testament Scriptures, along with their oral testimony, the things that they did with Jesus while he was with them on earth. They weren't written down yet, so they had to tell the story. And then, it's the good news. So what happens when you have good news? Well, you tell a friend, and then that friend tells somebody, and it spreads like wildfire, right? And that made a lot of people very happy, but it made some people angry. And they didn't want that news to get out. But that's okay. God has His way. He has a purpose. Can you picture the apostles stating the Lord's Word, telling the Lord's words, and then explaining the meaning of what He had said? That's what they had to do. As best they could. Well, how could they remember that? The power of the Holy Spirit working through them, helping them to explain the meaning of what Jesus was telling them about life and about serving Him and about why they needed Him. This is where the Holy Spirit uses them to speak the truth. Because you know, in God, there are no lies. He tells the truth about everything, even when it hurts. But we need that. We need that tough love because we're thick-skinned. We're tough people and we want our own way. So, the Holy Spirit uses them. And the initial oral utterance of the apostles' teaching would be called this Greek word, kerygma. Say it, kerygma.
Kerygma.
It's the Greek word meaning proclamation or announcement. So here they are announcing the good things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are they saying? Here's the things we should be doing as believers. We should be talking about Jesus, talking about the scriptures we do have. And then they go on and say, the breaking of bread, the breaking of bread. In this context of this verse, it's talking about what we just did, the Lord's Supper. It's talking about breaking bread to remember that He gave His body, He shed His blood so that we could be redeemed, we could be bought back and be a part not only of His kingdom but of His family. Yes, we're children of God when we accept Jesus Christ. He makes us that way. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Well, what does that mean? It means every chance they got to break bread and remember Jesus, they did it. And so when they went from the temple, as we're going to hear in a moment, to their homes to have meals, they would break bread there. And then they would have the meal, okay? Today we think of breaking bread as sitting down for dinner or lunch. But think first about honoring the Lord and remembering what He did. Amen? This is the apostolic proclamation. The apostles, after receiving the Holy Spirit, began to preach the kerygma, the good news of Jesus Christ, calling people to repentance and belief in Jesus Christ. Now, think of where they're at. They're in Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? It's the city of God. And they're already countless numbers of believers in God. They believe in God. The Jews believe tremendously in God, but they were very narrow-minded about God. He was their God. He wasn't a God for somebody else, but they were going to learn differently, right? Because He was calling everyone to repentance, to turn from their sin, and start following the Holy Spirit and following Him to have true happiness in this world. Believe in Jesus Christ. Turn away from sin, and you will have it. The early Christian communities relied heavily on what we now call oral tradition, word of mouth. And they would tell the stories of Jesus and repeat those to their children and teach it that way. And they were taught that way until finally they started writing them down. Scribes, how long will it take somebody to write the Gospel of Matthew? Or the Gospel of Mark, Luke, John, other scriptures? It's time consuming, isn't it? But they did it. They had people devote their life to writing the scriptures. Did they just write them haphazardly? Of course not. This is the Word of God. They went to great lengths to make sure that it was true and they wrote it down correctly. They weren't on their own. Who was guiding them? The Holy Spirit, of course. And He made sure that they got it right. Eventually collected, canonized, the meaning put together as a book. That's what canonization is. They take all these writings and put them together and make a book out of it. How many books in the Bible? 66 books. How many in the Old Testament? 39. How can you remember that so quick? Because it tells you how many are in the New Testament. 3 times 9, 39. 3 times 9 is 27. So you can remember there's 39 because there's 27 in the New. 3 times 9, 27. You got it. And today, we recognize all of those writings, the Gospels, and other historical and doctrinal New Testament books and the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ as the canon of Scripture, the Bible, what we call the Bible, right? Didn't know you were going to get a history lesson today, did you?
Come on.
In essence, the kerygma, the initial foundational proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, spoken by the Holy Spirit through the apostles, is written down in book form so we can have it. And then it came the printing press and they started printing it out. And now we have easy access. Praise God. So the apostles were used to introduce people to faith in Christ. That's what we're doing here. Introducing people to faith in Christ. And then for those who know Him, we're talking about the Scriptures and learning them, right? Learning what God would have us to do. Acts 2:42 gives us the beginning of the Lord's evangelistic endeavor through His church. That's evangelism. Telling people about Jesus and asking them if they would like to make Him their Savior. And fabulously, many of them do. Praise God. And so Christ's church grew from that point through believers gathering together, just like we're doing now, to hear about Jesus Christ and His saving work. And then the Holy Spirit and His power of using us to further that word. Amen?
Amen.
Now look down to verse 46. Acts 2:46. It says this, "And day by day..." Wait a minute. That's time consuming. Day by day. Not moment by moment the way we have communication now. Time to think. Time to absorb. That's what they had. "Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And they praised God for their provision." Amen. Day by day, attending the temple together. At that time, the temple was a common meeting place for the Jews, of course. But now it's becoming a common meeting place for believers in Christ, who, by the way, were mostly Jews at the beginning. And so where else would they meet? It was just natural that they would go there and they would start sharing Jesus, right? The temple was open every day for Jewish religious practice, animal sacrifice. They had to do that. That was in the commandments of God. So don't think badly of them. They were following God's word, right? So they would do those sacrifices every single day, along with oil and grain sacrifices, prayer, singing of psalms, and burning of incense. All those things were practiced in the temple. Most of Christ's believers at that time were Jews. They came out of the Jewish nation. So it was natural for believers to meet there and discuss Jesus. As long as followers of Jesus remained peaceful and disciplined and unoffensive, they were allowed in. No rowdiness, don't start any arguments, and you can come in. But they didn't ask for permission. They just went in and quietly, lovingly started sharing the Lord, right? And then in Acts chapter 3, it tells us what happened when Peter and John healed a lame man. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Heal somebody that can't walk? You would think, that's great. Everybody would be, you know, wanting that to happen. Well, they healed the man, and in Acts they continued preaching Jesus, but they were first thrown in jail for healing the man because it caused a small riot. All the people in the temple rushed over there. How did they heal this man? We know him. He's not been able to walk for most of his life. But now he's walking. How did that happen? So they all came together. And it looked like to the temple guards there, it was kind of like a riot beginning to happen. And they were put in jail. In chapter 4, they were put there for preaching Jesus to the masses. You see, the temple Pharisees, the priests, they didn't want people to know about Jesus. That would cut in on their business. We don't want that. Miracles were okay, but giving Jesus the credit for the miracle was not okay. And they weren't going to allow that. When Peter and John were freed, they continued preaching Jesus. They weren't put off by what happened to them. And in chapter 5 of Acts, we find them back in the temple preaching. Because the power of God is in them, and it's leading them to do that, and they can't resist it. Verse 46 goes on to say, and breaking bread in their homes. So they're sharing Jesus out in public in the temple, and then in private they're breaking bread in their homes. Because they can't really do that in the temple. It would cause another problem. So they're not doing that. But breaking bread is, once again, having the Lord's Supper. So they do that. Believers made it a point to remember the death, burial, and resurrection by taking communion in their homes. We can still do that today. No problem at all. The words breaking bread take us back to the first time Jesus did so, when Jesus offered the breaking of bread. Luke 22:19. Jesus, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, the apostles and disciples that were there, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. You know what a covenant is? It's a guarantee by God. It's a guarantee by God. He will do it. This is part of Christ's followers having their common meal in the privacy of their homes, not drawing undue attention inside the temple. And it says also, they receive their food with glad and generous hearts. You see, they were honoring God, and God is honoring them back. He is providing for them, and they're able to do these things. Remembering what the Lord had done for them allowed them to receive their meal with gladness. In other words, joy. We're following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and doing those things that are pleasing to Him. They led them so to gladly share with generous hearts. Any resources they had, they would let the Lord use. They were open to that. This is how the church grew, sharing the truth, the love, and the teaching of Jesus Christ and His followers. Peacefully, in public, then building relationships through sharing privately in their home. By having those meals there, they created relationships, friendships, and they began to depend on one another. We're going to have a fellowship meal tonight after praise night. I hope you come and you're a part of that. Come on out. Now, the church meetings have moved from the home to the church building. Here we are, Exhibit A, right? We're not meeting in the home. Some people do, and that's okay, but we have a building to meet in, and we praise God for that. And we can observe the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ's death and shed blood on our behalf, which is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. You can note that scripture and read that on your own, which we do each week. We have communion, the Lord's Supper, every week. We want to honor Him. The concept of breaking bread from Acts 2:42 also carries the idea of having meals together. because they moved to the home, broke the bread, and then they had meals. This is another example of the church promoting fellowship and building relationships to strengthen their community. Listen, it starts out as a small group of people, if you want to call 3,000 a small group of people. But they're not public about what they're doing because they are hated by the authorities. If you go out and start speaking Jesus in public, somebody's going to show up pretty soon and drag you away and throw you in jail. So you have to be very discreet about it. You know the fish sign? You have the two bows and they cross and they form a fish. You know how that sign developed? This is what history tells us. That people who were believers wanted to make sure if someone they were talking to was also a believer, so they would just take their foot and make an arch in the sand. And if that other person was a believer, they would counter it from the other side and make the arch, and then it looked like a fish. That's officially called ichmos. There's a TH in there that I have trouble putting in, ichmos. Any rate, that's how that started. So you had to be very private about sharing. And then so they moved into homes so they could share more openly. And we are now in the church where we can share freely. Ephesians 4:14 tells us this. Then we will no longer be infants. We are learning biblical doctrine. We are learning the ways of Christ. So we're not babies in the Word anymore. We can know what to do and be a part of that. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Yes, with every new movement, there's always schemers trying to find a way to use it for their benefit. Same thing with the gospel. And so there were people that were not they were unscrupulous, and they tried to make out on the deal. So you had to be careful, and you had to make sure that you had the right teaching, and the person teaching you was genuine and was teaching you the things of Scripture. Remember, many of them didn't have a Bible, so you had to depend on someone telling you. So you would seek out those who were associated with the apostles, and you would get a word of recommendation, and you would follow those men, right? The church is to be a place of fellowship where Christians can be devoted to one another, honoring and loving one another, so that they can learn about Jesus, learn about God, learn how to live for Him, learn how to promote Christianity to the masses. And that's what we're doing. Doesn't feel like it, does it? Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another who are believers, and instruct one another in the ways," doesn't say it, but it's in the ways of the Lord. It infers the things of Christ. "Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be encouraging to one another. Love one another." The church is to be a place where believers can observe the things of God, the things of the Lord, like the Lord's Supper. That's just one example. Remembering Christ's death and shed blood on our behalf, like it tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:23 and 26. Which we do each week because we want that in the forefront of our mind. This is why we do the things we do. This is why we show the love we show, because Christ showed us God's love.
Right.
And who are we? Why did we deserve it? We didn't deserve it. It's only because God loved His creation and wanted to retain us as part of that, and then have us in His family, right? So He's taking care of us. That's why we do this. The concept of breaking bread also carries the idea of having meals together. This is another example of the church promoting fellowship. We want to build a bond with each other. So when we're confronted by the world, we have strength in numbers, as well as the strength of the Holy Spirit. And so we worship together, we take meals together, we do activities together, building those relationships. Amen? And we're going to do that again tonight, after worshiping the Lord. The final purpose of the church, that's what we're talking about. What's the purpose of the church? Building that believing community, believing in Christ, so we can be a force in this world. Can you be a force in this world? Just look at the news, at all the little small groups that are gaining so much notoriety because they're putting themselves out there as a force for something. And we want to be a force for good, the good of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So the final purpose, according to Acts 2:42, is to get together and pray. We want to be a praying church. We need to integrate more prayer into the things that we're doing. We could even have a prayer meeting. And what would you do at a prayer meeting?
Pray,
of course. That's right. That's what you would do. We want the church to be a place that promotes prayer, teaches prayer, practices prayer. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 encourages us to do this. It says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God and the peace of God." You want God's peace? Pray. Pray. Get God's peace. Talk to Him. Pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart. It'll guard your heart from getting involved in things that are not godly, that aren't of Christ, that won't build you up spiritually. It'll tear you down. So get involved in prayer. Petition God to lead you and keep you on the right path. The peace of God will come into your heart and guard it. And not only will it guard that, it'll guard your mind. And when something comes across your mind that doesn't seem quite right, you'll stop and you'll think about it. And you'll say, "That doesn't seem quite right. Don't think I can do that." Prayer is the method given by God to relieve anxiety. If you have anxiety, stop and pray. Call on the Lord. Call on the Holy Spirit to give you relief and peace from that. He'll do it. Another commission given to the church is, what do you think? Proclaiming the gospel. We want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation that comes through it, the salvation through Jesus. Acts 1:8 says this, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." That's us going out and sharing Christ with the community. We'll be witnesses to Christ in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What is that really saying? You'll be witnesses around your church. You'll be witnesses in your neighborhood. You think people that know you're a Christian, do you think they look at what you're doing? They do. They do. They don't tell you, but they're looking. So in your neighborhood, you'll be a testimony. In your city, in your state, you know, you could run for public office. You could be, a legislator of some sort, and you could take Christ with you and promote Him there. Some do. Many don't. But we could do that. "You shall be witnesses to me," basically, wherever you go. You have that opportunity. Have you seen opportunity lately?
Amen.
Act on it. Act on it. The church is called to be faithful in sharing the gospel. Be faithful in sharing the gospel through word and deed. Yes, you can tell people, but then do things to show the love and to show His presence in your life, right? Be that present testimony. The church is to be the lighthouse in the community. The lighthouse in the community. There's more than one church in the community, isn't there? But which one is teaching the truth? And how do you know? This is the truth. If they're preaching and sharing this, they're okay. If not, move on. Find the one that is preaching and teaching the Scriptures and proclaiming Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Pointing people toward the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The church is to both promote the gospel and prepare its members to share the gospel. Yes, you're not just soaking this up like sponges so you can carry it around with you the rest of your life and never share it with anyone. You're supposed to go out and be wrung out. Yes, be wrung out. Let the truth come out of you like when you squeeze a sponge and the water runs out. You think the world's going to squeeze you? It is. Respond to it with Christ. Let Him run out of you and take control of the situation. Amen?
Amen?
Promote the gospel and use it to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set Him apart in your heart." Let people know you're setting Him apart because you're making a commitment to share Him. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready. Always be ready to do what? Share Jesus.
Amen.
Share Jesus. Give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. What's the reason for the hope that's in you?
Jesus.
How can you be happy in this world that's so hard on us? Jesus. How can you keep trying to help others when there's so many that it becomes very frustrating? Jesus. How do you meet the challenges that the world throws on you every single day?
Jesus.
He is the answer. Amen?
Amen.
Of course He is. You give Him as the answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope you have. And how should we do that, Randy?
Love.
In love. Not in anger, not in frustration. Not because we think we're better than someone. No, we do it in love. To show them the love so they'll join in, right? But it also says in fear. That means respect, right? Do it in honor of the Lord. Do it for Him. Show the respect you have for Him by sharing Him with others. So in wrapping this up, you can all relax a little. The church is to be about the business of ministering to those in need. In need. What is their greatest need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And even people that have called on Jesus might need a reminder that they need Jesus. Because we get busy and we forget and we get frustrated. And so we just need a little reminder. You know what? Call on the Lord. Pray. Go back to Him in prayer. The purpose of the church for those already saved is to provide a place of Christian fellowship. For one, we can all meet and greet and love on each other, right? Have meals together. That's one reason. Fellowship, which is encouraging. We want to encourage one another. That's one reason to meet. What's the other reason? to train. We need to train ourselves to get ready to be out there. Probably wouldn't hurt us to do a little bit of role playing every now and then. See what life is really like out there. Because, you know, they might not be nice. They might not be nice. And so how are you going to respond to that? You still have to respond with love. That's right. You can't tell them what you want to tell them. You need to tell them what Jesus wants you to tell them, right? So you got to put a cap on that and give them the Lord Jesus Christ. Training, where believers will be equipped to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel out in the world. The gospel of the Lord Jesus. I implore you to be here in this sanctuary whenever the Word of God is opened for study. Be here. You are a disciple of Christ. Be here when we open this Scripture and start talking about what's going on in there and telling you the things that the Lord and the Holy Spirit expect of us. Yes, that's a little bit stronger than, hey, they would like you to do this. Of course they would. But no, it goes beyond that. The expectation is that we share the good news. That's what we should be about. Amen? Amen. And so, come, learn. Every time you come in this sanctuary, I guarantee you, you're going to pick up something that you're going to think in your mind, that's a good thing. I could probably use
right.
that.
Right.
Try me. See if it's not true. Try the Lord and see if His Word isn't true.
Amen.
Right? Be here. Be in the training. Be ready to go into the battle. That's what it is. You're fighting for the Lord, but you're fighting with love. And you're fighting with His Word. Be here. At the very least, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. That's the very least you can do. You know that? That's approximately 4 hours. I put through a little extra time in there because, you know, you got to get ready. And then you like to stand around and talk after church and fellowship, you know, and by the time you get out of here, you know, it's just some extra time. About 4 hours a week. How many hours are in a week?
Bunch.
168
wow.
hours in the week. Can you give the Lord four? Can you give Him four? Will you give Him 4 hours? You know, that's only about 3%. Of the total time. It's about 3% of the 168. Can you do that for the Lord, for your church, for the sake of the gospel? What's a tithe? 10% is the guideline for a tithe, isn't it? Well, we're 3%. We're far away, aren't we? So, you can give all that other stuff that you do when you come to the ladies' Bible study, the men's breakfast, those kind of things. Come out for work day. Do those kinds. Serve, cleaning up around here, getting things tidied up so it's an enjoyable time when you come to church, right? All those other things become what? A love gift. That's all love gift to the Lord. Thanking Him for what He's done for you, right? All in the name of the Lord. That's the challenge today. Will you commit to being here at least 3 times a week in this sanctuary? Ryan, would you come please? And learn more and more about what the Lord expects from you as a believer. That's what this is about. Oh, we have good time talking, fellowship, and eating. We're almost as bad as Baptists. Right? I think a lot of us are Baptists. We just go by a different name, you know. But at any rate, we enjoy the time here. Come. and fellowship and enjoy it even more. Okay, you can go ahead and put the song up because we're going to sing.